Well, we've seen a lot of storms lately in Texas. I would love to see it sort of even out, but we didn't get it all at one time and spread it out. But that's God's business, isn't it? And when everybody in our church starts tithing, it'll start raining, right? So just a little clue there to you. But anytime you're in a storm, it's not very pleasant. I've been through some pretty rough storms in Indiana, different places, and even here in Texas. And we have seen on television recently a number of people who are going through storms and some tragedies and rivers up and raging and all of that. And somehow it just reminds us, or can remind us, of the storms of life that we go through. And we do go through some storms from time to time. We go through some health issues. I know that a number of you people have some very serious health issues. And that's sort of a storm for you. And then there are disappointments that people have. And then that creates a storm in your life. You don't understand. It doesn't make sense to you. But God understands, and it makes sense to God. And God is in control of all of that. There may be some financial reversals that you face, and that's a storm to you. Maybe children that just crush your heart, and that's a storm in your life. And I could go on ad infinitum, just numbers and numbers and numbers of scenarios. But I want to talk to you tonight, just for the next few minutes, about the stilling of the storm. And if you will, let's turn to Matthew chapter 8. Very familiar passage to you, I'm sure. Matthew chapter 8. And we'll look at verses 23 through 27. Matthew chapter 8. This is when Christ stilled the tempest. We read beginning with verse 23. And when he was entered into his ship, his disciples followed him. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. That's pretty high. But he was asleep. Jesus was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We perish. And he saith unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? You can read a parallel passage in Luke chapter 8. Don't turn there now, but you can read that there in verse 22 and following about the same thing. So what do we see here tonight? First of all, we see the stormy sea. Look at the stormy sea in verses 23 and 24. The disciples went into the ship. They followed him. And there arose a great tempest in the sea. And the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. A terrible storm came up. If you've ever been on the Sea of Galilee, when a storm came up, you realize how quickly a storm can come up there on the Sea of Galilee. It's almost as it comes down from those mountains, a wind tunnel, and it can happen just like that. And even though we'd call it in Texas a big lake, they call it the Sea of Galilee, but a storm can come up in that area in a body of water like that in a tremendous way. And that's what had happened right here. And that is typical, I believe, of the sea of life, of the problems that we have. The problems that we face. And I know that you came in this building, many of you tonight, with problems, with things that are to you like a storm. They're like a sea. And like these people going across the sea. But I want you to notice that who did they follow into the ship? They followed Jesus into the ship. They were doing what Jesus told them to do. And I would say, I believe with all of my heart, they were in God's will. You can't follow Jesus like that, follow him into a ship, and not be in his will. And so they were right, you might say, in their very heart, in the very, very middle of the will of God, the very perfect center of the will of God, as they followed him into the ship. But just being in the will of God does not guarantee any of us immunity from disappointments and things we don't understand and problems that come in our life. Just because we're in God's will does not mean we're not going to face some of those storms in life. But His presence did not guarantee any immunity to them. Jesus did not ever mention to them before they followed Him, hey, there's a chance we might go to the bottom. He never gave that possibility. You never see it there. It is implied that if you follow the Lord Jesus Christ and you run into some problems, He's going to take care of those problems. And He's going to be there for you. And I believe that with all of my heart. So here's the stormy sea. What are your storms tonight? What are you going through tonight? What kind of problems do you have tonight? What kind of challenges are in your life? What kind of challenges are in the life of this church? Sometimes we feel like there's a storm going on, but my friend, God is in charge. And God is totally in control. But look at Jesus in verse 24. It's such a marvelous statement that is made here. But He was asleep. All of His storm going on all around. But now who is Jesus? He's God. And He's in the boat with all of these others. And He doesn't seem to be worried about anything. And by the way, this shows us His humanity, right? He was asleep. The humanity of Jesus Christ. But even while He was asleep in His humanity, He was resting in His Father's will, in resting in His Father's presence. He wasn't worried about anything. That's why, though He was the God-man, He could still rest and still sleep, because as the man that He was, the God-man, as much man as God, as much God as man, here He was resting in the fact that I know my Father is watching over this boat, and I know there's a storm out there, and I'm just going to go to sleep and rest in the promises of my Father. Perfect humanity. But look at His trust. You see, He knew the end from the beginning, didn't He? Sure He did. Did He know they were going to get on the other shore safely? Of course He did. And these other men, these that were there with Him, should have known that. They should have known He was going to take them from point A to point B, and He was going to be in charge, and He was going to take care of them and take care of the storm. John 14:27, peace I leave with you. Do you have peace tonight? I mean, in the midst of the storm, do you have peace? Everybody in here ought to have peace tonight. In your heart, even in the midst of the storm. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. The world could never give that kind of peace. Not as the world giveth. Theirs is temporal, it's shallow, doesn't stay around very long. But He said, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Are you troubled tonight? Are you afraid? The storm's got you upset? The storm's making you question and wonder what God's doing? Oh, listen, friend, He's in charge. And we know we're going to wind up in the right place on the other side, safe and secure, because of the promise He's made us. And that's why He says, I leave peace with you. If you don't have peace tonight, it's your fault. If you don't have peace in your heart tonight, it's because you're not listening to the Bible. If you don't have peace in your heart tonight, it's because you're not listening to the Holy Spirit and to God and God's promises to us. It looked like He was neglecting them, didn't it? I can imagine those guys. Jesus is over here sleeping? Here, He must. What in the world is wrong with Jesus? It wasn't Jesus' problem, it was their problem. What's going on here? And what's happening here? Well, why did Jesus allow it, by the way? Why did Jesus allow the storm to come up? I believe He was in charge of the storm, don't you? I believe God was in charge. I believe Jesus was in charge of it. And He made it happen, allowed it to happen, however you want to look at it. I believe to test their faith and see if they would have faith and be obedient. Sometimes tests come our way just to see, are we going to trust God? Are we going to be obedient? Are we going to do what God says and follow His leadership? 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of faith be more precious than gold. I hadn't priced gold lately. I don't buy it and I don't sell it. But I've heard, you know, a lot of high figures of gold. It's way on up there. I don't know what it is, $1,000 plus an ounce, I suppose. My brother one time bought some gold when it was about $1,400 an ounce. And then he took me by and showed me his gold one day, and he said it's worth about $600 now. So be careful how you invest. But either way, the gold was worth a whole lot. But what he's saying is our test, the trial of the faith, is more precious than gold. Gold is a precious metal. But the trials and the struggles and the temptations and the difficulties and the disappointments that you go through or your family goes through or anyone else, my friend, God allows those things because He wants to teach us something, and they're more precious than gold. And we ought to look at them that way. Hey, this is more precious than gold. God's got a purpose in this. God is carrying out His will. Now, look at the servant's distress there in verse 25. His disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We perish." I probably would have said the same thing. Don't look too pious. I think you might have said the same thing too. I mean, in a storm like that, we might have won that. Did you ever feel like you're saying, "Lord, don't you care?" Did you ever feel like that? Surely there have been times you're thinking, "I'm praying, Lord, what's going on here? Lord, don't you care?" Well, yes, the Lord cares. I can promise you tonight, the Lord cares. And the Lord allows these things. And they were upset about it. And the storm was raging, and it was a bad storm. And all of the waves coming over, and they thought the ship was going to capsize, and all of the tragedy that was going to take place because of that. But look at what Jesus said to them in verse 26. That He saith unto them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. First, He rebuked them before He rebuked the waves. Why are you fearful? Why do you think things aren't going to work out? They'll work out. Why do you think that the things you're going through, somehow you'll never make it through them, and you're not going to get to the other side, and it's not going to work out? Friend, it is going to work out. And we have to put faith in gear. Have faith in God. Believe God's will. Believe what God is up to. And accept what God is up to, because that's God's will. Little faith. He rebuked them because they had little faith. And I think He was thinking, now you've seen me and you've been with me and all that. And here I am in the ship and I'm asleep. That ought to give you a clue. And you're worried about dying and you're wondering what's going on right here. And you ought to know that as long as God's in the ship with you, it's not going to go down. It's just not going to go down. And friend, you can count on tonight, God's in our ship. And the ship's not going to go down. God's with us. And God is going to bless us. The reason Noah was safe in the ark was because God was present. It wasn't because he was such a good carpenter. It was because he obeyed the Lord, but it was because God was watching over him. And because God brought him through all of that. And he had faith in God, and God did it. But when we don't have faith, little faith makes us fearful. And we worry. We bite our fingernails. We pop pills and go through all of that. And we worry and worry and worry about everything. What's going to happen? How is it going to work out? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to him? What's going to happen to them? Listen, friend. That shows that you're not trusting God like you should trust God. Because I can tell you, when faith fails, courage fails. When faith fails, you'll discover that courage fails. And God wanted them to have courage, and He wants us to have courage. God is good, isn't He? God's in the boat with us. Whatever the boat's going through, God's with us. God is there for us. So what did He do? We have a loving, forgiving, merciful, gracious Lord Jesus Christ. And He's showing that there. He reprimanded them. And then in verse 26, He saith unto them, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" And then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And I don't know what he said. Maybe peace be still. We sing that song, peace be still. But he said it, and like an obedient pet, the waves just laid down, the storm stopped, because God was in the boat with them. And so he rebuked. What is he showing us here? Well, we see his humanity is asleep, but he's showing us his deity here. There was the humanity. The humanity was asleep, not worried about it, believing his Father's promises. And now he reveals who he really is to them one more time. I am God. I am deity. And lay down, waves. Now, how many of you believe that's just some little story that never did happen? I'm telling you, it did happen. I believe everything this book says that happened. You say, well, that's miraculous and all. Yes, amen. God is a miracle-working God. And God can say to the waves, lay down and be still, and they'll lay down and be still. He is God, and He's still able to work miracles, and He does. May not be all in the same, very, very same ways, but God is a miracle-working God. He reveals His deity through that. And I can tell you, because He is God, He is able. Is there anything He can't do? No. Somebody said, well, God can't make a rock bigger than Him, so big that He can't lift it. Well, friend, let me tell you, first of all, God's not stupid. Amen? Why in the world would He want to even try that? He's not about to try that, and that's crazy. But I can tell you, God can do anything God wants to do. God is able to do that. And so He reveals that He is able. And the result here was a great calm. The men marveled. The winds and the sea, there was a great calm. The men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey Him? Well, He's deity. He's God. That's a good question. He is God. And so there was a day when the storms of God's wrath that should have been poured out on us was poured out on the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And finally, He stopped the storm and stilled all of the commotion. And He said, it is finished. I've settled the whole thing. I've paid the price. I've shed my blood. My body's broken. I paid the price. They can be saved. And the storm is once and for all stilled for all of those who will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He calmed the storms at Calvary. Amen? He really did. He calmed the storms at Calvary. Not only will He do that for you as an unsaved person. You may be here tonight not saved. Sunday night crowd, most everybody's saved. There may be one or two here that isn't saved. And I'll tell you, who will calm your storm? It's the same person, Jesus. You have a storm of guilt, a storm of sin that's going to eat you alive and cause you to die and go to hell. But my friend, Jesus took care of it. He took care of it on the cross of Calvary. And then I want to tell you that in the Christian life, no matter what we're going through, no matter what's happening to us, Jesus is with us. He's in the boat. We're following Him. We're doing what He tells us to do. And whatever comes our way, whatever it may be, sickness, money problems, family problems, disappointing things that we don't understand, whether we agree with it or not, God's in charge. And I'm telling you, God is in the boat with us. And He's in the boat with you tonight. I know what some of you are going through. Obviously, as pastor, I do know what some of you are going through. But I don't know what a lot of you are going through. You don't have to tell me, and you may not want to, and that's all right. And you tell God, and you're dealing with that. But I want to tell you, the answer is in God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And any storm you have tonight, any need you have tonight, I promise you He can meet that need. And He will if you'll just look to Him. Admit the problem might be that you just don't quite have enough faith. And just tell Jesus that and come to Him and say, but I really need help. I want to get out of this storm. And Jesus, who is so kind, so forgiving, so merciful, after He reprimanded him, just casually reprimanded him, said, your problem is you don't have any faith. Then He said, I'll calm the storm. Maybe you need to come to Him tonight to calm your storm. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. What kind of challenges do you have tonight? What kind of disappointments are you facing? What kind of problems and storms are in your life? God knows and you know. My dear friend, Jesus is in the boat with you. Would you come talk to Him about it tonight? He didn't mind us coming to Him. He didn't mind them coming to Him because He was the answer, and He is tonight. If you're here without Christ, come. Just step out and come and be saved. Lord, thank You for tests, disappointments, problems, things we don't understand. Because we know that, dear God, as we follow You, that these things work out, these things are what You want. And I pray that we would take our storms, our challenges, the things that come in our life tonight and turn them over to You. It may seem to us like You're asleep in the boat. We need to wake You up. You need to talk to us and remind us You're going to steal the storm. And You're in charge. And You're going to get us on the other side, on the shore of Your will, on the shore of success, on the shore of victory. In our Christian life, we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.